Okay, so we'll go ahead and get started. Welcome, everybody. My name is Doyle Granga Das, and I'm a member of the Bhakti Center team here, co-hosting this along with a team of hosts and technical crew to make these things happen. These events are also co-hosted by a number of yatras from around the Northeast area, which we will be sharing and telling you about at the end of the presentation. Please stay tuned to the end of the presentation. We'll have some important announcements about other upcoming events that you can participate in after this series. This is a four-part series on the on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leading us up to Gaur Purnim. We are in part three, where we'll be discussing and sharing the Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And next week will be the final part of this series, where we'll be hearing some of the bhajans and songs about Lord Chaitanya and his teachings. We are so, so grateful to His Holiness Satchidananda Swami for coming to spend this time with us. It's been an amazing, tremendous journey where we feel like we are coming closer and closer and closer to the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as we invite Him into our hearts. So we're extraordinarily glad to have His Holiness Satchidananda Swami with us. Thank you so, so, so much, Maharaj. He will speak for about an hour as normal, and then we'll have some questions and answers at the end, which you can send into Yashoda Dulal Prabhu to field those questions. And you'll have an opportunity to ask anything that you might have. So without further ado, or taking up any more of your time, we would like to invite His Holiness Satchidananda Swami to please take the stage. Hare Krishna.
I'm welcoming everyone who is with us today affectionately to this third part, where we are dealing with the miracles and the wonders and the marvels of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have chosen to present Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with this angle because when we see someone acting so clearly out of the laws of material nature and having such divine attributes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has, our faith is very much increased. Let me first offer my obeisances to Srila Prabhupada and then we will go ahead. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Once in a public program in India, Srila Prabhupada was asked, Swamiji, what are your miracles? I believe the inquirer had something in mind, like whether or not Srila Prabhupada had manifested any deities out of his body or something like this. And Prabhupada became very grave. And then he pointed towards the devotees who were sitting with him on the stage and he said, these are my miracles. And with this, Srila Prabhupada pointed out to the workings of the Swarup Shakti, the energy of the Lord, which had converted or transformed an ordinary karma-bound soul into a happy transcendental Vaishnava. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revived people from the death. He has cured people from leprosy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been seen at many places at the same time, expanding himself in many forms. But I think if we were to ask him of himself what he considered his greatest miracle, he might have given a similar answer than Srila Prabhupada. That is, to spread or to change people's life substantially, to free them from the vicious cycle of birth and death and bring them back home, back to Godhead, in fact, is the greatest miracle. It is said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought a wish-fulfilling tree from the spiritual world, a Kalpa Vriksha tree, and became the gardener of this tree. He himself cultivated it and distributed its fruits, and he requested all of his devotees to help him distribute the fruits of this wonderful Kalpa Vriksha tree, this bhakti tree, which he has brought into the world and planted into the holy soil of Navadvip Dham. Mahaprabhu once said, "My name is Vishvamba, he who maintains the entire universe." He was didn't have a small mind or a small plan. He was thinking of the entire universe. Its meaning will only be actualized if I can fill the whole universe with prema or love of God. This is not a very small task. You know, for love, a person will change his entire life. For love, a person will give up his country. For love, he will give us his will give up his profession and even good reputation in some cases. For love, a person is ready to sacrifice his wealth. But this is all mundane love. For love of Godhead, a person is ready to sacrifice the entire world. And to give this love of God, this overwhelming transcendental emotion to the world, to maintain the world through the distribution of divine love, that is Mahaprabhu's wonderful contribution. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, one drop of prema, one drop of this love is enough to make one forget the entire nightmare of material existence, so that henceforward one will swim in an ocean of love. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not just talk allegorically. You know, he brought a tree of love with him. No, he talked also very practically doing what I would always call the instant mango miracle. We have instant tea, instant this, instant that. Well, when Mahaprabhu was here with us, he went every morning with a Sankirtan party through the villages of Navadvip. He would call out to the people, "Why are you wasting your time with sleep? The life is very short. You should therefore engage every second of it to worship the Lord, the darling of Mother Yashoda." So naturally, when the devotees went out every morning through all the islands of Navadvip, when it was noontime and hot, they were very exhausted. So once, when the devotees were greatly fatigued, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked them, "You look so tired. What would you like to eat? What would help you?" So the devotee said, "My Lord, if we could have a juicy mango, please." "Bring me a seed," said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in Bengal, you can find seeds of mangoes everywhere. The people eat the mango during the mango season, and then they spit or take the seed, and you can find it in ditches. You can find mango seeds by the side of the road. They're everywhere. So one of the devotees came back with a dried out mango seed. It was not mango season, so they must have been a few months old, this dried up mango seed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took it and planted it into the ground, and from the ground, instantaneously, an entire mango tree grew up, which had very, very big fruits. They were as big as the head of a child. They were without much skin and without seeds. They were juice, pure juicy fruits. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then took these fruits and gave them to the devotees. This mango tree gave fruits way beyond the season. It was a spiritual tree. It was an inexhaustible tree. And for an entire year, the devotees feasted on these mangoes, which were given to them by Mahaprabhu. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a practical example of what it means to be Krishna conscious. You taste the fruit yourself. The fruits of love of God, which you can enjoy when you perform the processes of bhakti. And then, being fully satiated, you distribute the fruits to others. Mahaprabhu said, "I'm just one gardener, but there are so many fruits. I need the help of the devotees to distribute them." My dear listeners, please think today what you could do to distribute Krishna consciousness, the fruit of Krishna consciousness, to others. I am today a guest in the house of my older brother in Hamburg, and my program today is to distribute the fruits of Krishna consciousness to all of you on the call. But I have another program. After this, I will go to my old parents. My father is now approaching 100 years of age. He's 96, so he is going strong. We want to encourage him, but we are aware that time is also there, and his time might come any time this year or later. And I want to give them the fruits of Krishna consciousness by guiding them into a transcendental, into a meditation on spiritual subjects and on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have made it a point to every day in my life try to relish the fruits of Krishna, of Lord Chaitanya, and distribute them to the many people who are suffering due to a lack of taste. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has many, many pastimes connected with chanting the holy name. I told you one, but there are many, many others. And I want to tell you another one, which is attributed to him. One night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was deeply absorbed in kirtan at the house of Srivast Thakur. Along with his devotees, he had chanted already for many hours. All of a sudden, Srivast Thakur was called out of the kirtan, and he went to the private quarters where he saw his own wife and the other ladies of the house mourning and lamenting very deeply. He said, "What is the matter? Why are you so sad and why are you crying?" And his wife informed him, "Our son, who was ill, has just now left the body." Srivast Thakur was apprehensive. He said, "Don't lament now. In our house, the Supreme Lord is performing his Sankirtan pastimes. Therefore, our son is very fortunate. If you continue to cry like this, the Kirtan of the Lord might stop." He forbade them to continue crying. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the all-knowing super soul within everyone's heart, found out that there was some grief in the house, and then he could understand what was the reason. He stopped his kirtan and he asked, "Where is the boy who has died?" Immediately he was guided to the room where there was the dead body of the son of Srivast Thakur. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed yet another of his divine miracles. He said, "My dear boy, why are you leaving the house of your father and your mother so untimely?" At that time, the soul of the dead son re-entered the body. The body got up and began to speak. He said, "I've lived here as long as I had the destined time, but that time is now over. So I'm going someplace else now, to wherever you are sending me, my Lord. I'm your eternal servant, and as every living being who's dependent on you, I'm totally dependent on you only. I must act only in harmony with your wish. I cannot do anything else. I cannot even move a centimeter outside of your wish. I don't have such power." And then the son left again. So imagine you are a father or a mother and your child has left the body. He's called back and he said, "My time was over. I now need to go because it's the will of the Lord." You will immediately have an understanding of the eternal soul. Immediately you will have what is called Atma Gyan. You will have wakened up from the illusion of material life. And this was exactly what happened to the family. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took at that time the dead body. He went with the dead body into the Ganga. And as he entered the Ganga, Mother Ganga came on a chariot drawn by dolphins. She was dressed in luminous white cloth. And she helped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking the boy and then moving it in the Ganga like this to give him his last bath. This is what happened before the eyes of everyone. My dear devotees, whenever you have someone who dies and your life is affected, whenever you witness it, take shelter in this pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you will give up all the grief which is associated when you see someone near and dear leaving the planet, leaving the life. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had many pastimes, and one pastime I would like to, many pastimes around the holy name, that is where we are, and one pastime was his South India tour. He went through South India and he sang one song. It is said, almost like a mad lion, Lord Chaitanya went on his tour filled with ecstatic love, and he performed the sankirtan of chanting Lord Krishna's name as follows. So our technical wizard Gop Kumar will now put on the text, and I want to request all of you to sing this song along with Gop Krishna and myself. I will sing one line and you please sing it with me. Actually, we can sing all together at the same time. So please start. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Continue. Krishna, 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 Rakshama. Krishna, 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 Vahima. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna Kesava, Krishna Kesava, Krishna Kesava, Ahima. One time again, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Hari Hari Bol. I hope you could enjoy the ecstasy of this particular kirtan. It is very inspiring. And this was the kirtan which the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sang during his entire tour. And the effect was contagious. Whoever heard Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanting this also began to chant the names of Lord Hari and Krishna. In this way, the people who met him all followed the Lord and were very eager to see him. Then after some time, Lord Chaitanya would embrace these people and bid them to return home, having invested each one of them with his spiritual Shakti. You know, the people carried the seed of Krishna consciousness. It was epidemic or pandemic or infectious or electrical or absolutely charging us up. And when they came back to their villages or their towns, they were always chanting the holy name of Krishna, sometimes laughing, sometimes crying, and sometimes dancing. I sometimes wish that those who come to my seminars will return home, sometimes laughing, sometimes singing, sometimes dancing. You know, Krishna consciousness is meant to transform you. It is meant to make you a transcendentally empowered personality. So when they came home, this is also described, they would request everyone and anyone, whomever they saw, to chant the holy names of Krishna. In this way, all the villagers would also become devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this shows you a little bit the miracle of spreading the holy name or infusing everyone with transcendental Shakti, who was meeting Chaitanya. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, whatever I have stated for the beginning of Lord Chaitanya's tour, this is what we have just heard, huh? Whatever you have just heard should also be understood to hold as long as the Lord traveled South India. By understanding this, you will understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a little bit better. I remember once there was a frustrated man, a dhobi, washerman, who had to wash other people's dirty cloth all day. He was sitting by the river and he all of a sudden saw a shade next to him. And he looked a little bit up and he saw the saffron color and understood this was a sannyasi. He said, "I have no money, I have no money, I have no money, don't ask me for anything." But then he heard the beautiful voice of Gauranga Mahaprabhu telling him, "I have not come to ask you for money. I have only asked you, I have only come to ask you to chant the holy name." The washerman said, I have no voice. I have to work all day. I have no time." But again, the Lord said, so kindly, "Just sing Hari, Hari." So the washerman thought, he will go away if I do his bidding, and chanted Hari, Hari. But as soon as his tongue touched the holy name in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he felt unusual feelings of ecstasy overwhelming him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and left the place as silently as he had come. When it was evening time and the washerman was not back in his village, the villagers started to look for him. But all they saw was a man dancing and chanting and crying at the banks of a river. And they understood that this cannot be the mental washerman who was always sad and worried. But finally his wife came close, and she turned around and said, "Everyone come, we have found him." So the whole village surrounded this dancing, crying, happy, ecstatic person, and were afraid to come close. But when finally someone touched him, he immediately contacted the Shakti of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chanted and danced like that. My dear devotees, we chant so many long years. Could it be that we are yet to touch Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Could it be that we still have not yet meditated about him in our heart, so that we are not yet ecstatic as we should be by now? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not only sing. He typically gave three instructions, which Gop Kumar will put up on the screen for all of us. He had an instruction: Yare Deka Tarikaha Krishna Upadesh Amar Agyai Guruhana Tara E Desh. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to enlighten everyone in this land. Wonderful. So, three instructions for all of us who follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The first was, when he came and embraced people, he said, chant the holy name. The second instruction is to read the Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And the third is to preach about Krishna. Tell other people about Krishna. My dear people, my dear listeners, if you want to follow the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please do these three things. Chant the holy name. Read and study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. And then become a guru. Yes, become a guru. And instruct everyone and try to liberate them. When I was with Prabhupada in Germany, I was so fortunate to massage him, and we were alone in the room. Prabhupada gave me similarly instructions. He said, become a good disciple. Then he said, become a good guru. Then he said, become a good water carrier and become a cook. This is what you should learn. I understood these instructions as I should learn and I should teach. I should give the blessings and benefits of Krishna consciousness to others, like someone who goes and brings water to the village. The water of Krishna consciousness should be carried and brought to everyone. And I should become independent of others. When you know cooking yourself, you don't have to go to a cook to learn. Yes, so this is very good. Gop Kumar, we don't require this slide. Oh yes, very good. Prabhupada says, please read with me. In the purport he says, this is the sublime mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Many people come and inquire whether they have to give up family life to join the society, but that is not our mission. One can remain comfortably, or even uncomfortably, in his residence. We should simply request everyone to chant the Maha Mantra, please say the mantra with me, but loud. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If one is a little literate, and I can imagine in America you are a little literate, and in other parts of the world, and can read Bhagavad Gita as it is and Srimad Bhagavatam, that is so much the better. So this is a text where the mission of Krishna consciousness is explained. And although this is simple, although we have heard it, if you take these three things, these three instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to heart, to chant in an absorbed way, to read every day Gita and Bhagavatam, and to teach it to others, then your life will be very happy, very happy. Good. After his South India tour, and I have given you a little taste of what that was, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Jagannath Puri, where he took part for 20 years in a very important festival, the Ratha Yatra festival. There is a deep, deep spiritual secret behind this festival. See, although Krishna had become a very big king during his time, he had spent his childhood in the rural village of Vrindavan. He had gone every morning for cow herding pastimes into the forest, and where he spent time with his friends and where he met the gopis during the noontime at Radhakund and Syamkund, and then he had returned for the evening to the village of Vrindavan, where he had bathed and then had gone with his father to a big community hall where there was entertainment going on. Poets performed poetry, but acrobatic people did the acrobatic things. And it was a great entertainment. However, for the people of Vrindavan, they only were focused on Krishna. It is said, when there was this amazing entertainment, the circus of sorts, people only looked towards Krishna Balaram, who sat to the side of Nanda Maharaj. Everyone had only eyes for Krishna and only a heart for Krishna in Vrindavan. Then Krishna left to fulfill his mission of destroying the obstacles to Dharma and establishing Dharma in the world. When he left, all of Vrindavan was lamenting. The cows were lamenting. They kept the green grass which Krishna had fed them personally before he left Vrindavan in the mouth, because they didn't want to swallow it down. They wanted to remember Krishna. The cowherd boys remembered Krishna. The parents remembered Krishna. There was a kennel of tears coming from the house of Krishna's parents and flowing into the Yamuna. Everyone missed Krishna so much. Then, mostly affected was Radharani, who was wilting away. Her only reason to not die was because Krishna had promised he would return to Vrindavan and he would suffer when Radha would not be there. She never gave up hope that Krishna would return. But then a news came that Krishna was nearby Vrindavan in Kurukshetra, and all of Vrindavan except the cows, went to Kurukshetra to see Krishna after 100 years of Krishna's absence. You cannot imagine how the Brijbasis, the dear associates of Krishna and Vrindavan, saw when they finally beheld Krishna with their eyes, when they heard his sweet voice, when they smelled the fragrance which emanated from his transcendent body. But still, Radharani and the gopis were not satisfied to see Krishna. In Vrindavan, Krishna was dressed with flower ornaments. Here he held a heavy golden crown on his head. In Vrindavan, he was surrounded by cows. Here in the Kurukshetra, he was surrounded by elephants and military. He looked so formal, so official, and although they were so close, they felt so distant. Imagine we would meet Dayal Gauranga, whom we have become very affectionate with, but he would have become, we would meet him after 20 years and he would be the president of the United States. We would approach him and we would shout from the far, "Dayal, Dayal, do you recognize me?" And Dayal would not even look in our direction because he is surrounded by heavy security, and we would look too unusual with our Vaishnav dress and tilak. And we would be so close to Dayal, but so far away from Dayal, who is not... So this is a little... Can you understand the analogy? The Radha and the devotees were so close to Krishna, but so far away at the same time. They felt great longing, and finally they could no longer tolerate Krishna in this surrounding. They took the chariot on which Krishna was sitting, and they pulled the chariot back towards Vrindavan. This is Ratha Yatra, taking the ropes of the chariot where Lord Jagannath sits and pulling it back, pulling the Lord back in our hearts. Prabhupada says this is a very feeling festival. It's a festival of devotional feelings. When we see the Ratha Yatra in New York or Baltimore or Tovaco, or we see the Ratha Yatra in Berlin, in London, and so on, and we go to the ropes of the chariot to help pulling, we should remember this. We are pulling now Krishna, who is so far away from us. We pull him into our heart. This is the idea of Ratha Yatra. Mahaprabhu's last years, I told you, one episode, the Ratha Yatra, were spent in divine ecstasy. Every year he would come out of his room and he would dance for hours. Sometimes in his dancing he would expand into seven forms who danced at seven very different places with his devotees. The king saw it, the high priest of the temple, Kashi Mishra, saw it. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw it. The Lord, in his ecstasy, displayed unusual miracles of being present in seven different spots and dancing and flooding the place with a shower of his tears. He is also known in Puri during this time to have stayed in a little room. It's the Gambira. It's 2 meters times 2 meters, very small. And there he would go on the inner journey. One night he heard the flute sound of Krishna. And although his devotees had locked that room, the Gambira, and there was another, there was a wall around it, which was also locked. The door to that wall was locked. And there was a third door which was locked. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the sound of Krishna's flute, he remembered Radha, who heard in the night time Krishna's alluring flute and who went down familiar paths down to the river Yamuna to meet her beloved Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also took paths. Somehow or other, he left the three enclosed settlements in which he was. He went through three walls, if you so want, to meet Krishna, the flute player. His devotees were alarmed when they checked whether or not he was still in the room and didn't see him. They could not understand how he could have escaped the room. And they made a search throughout Puri. And do you know what happened when they saw him? They almost died. Because in his mystical trance or ecstatic emotions, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had transformed. There was a space of 15 centimeters, that's this distance, between the different joints, you know. His arms were disjointed, his fingers were disjointed. He was long. All the joints, hip joints, leg joints, feet joints, neck joints, shoulder joints, everything was dislodged for 15 centimeters. And there was, and his eyes were turned upwards. There was foam before his mouth. He was, you know, it was almost as if a tsunami wave of ecstasy had gone into his mind and in his body and had totally transformed him in all ways. So they chanted the holy name until finally everything came together, because they were afraid to transport him in this condition. To give you a little understanding of the ecstasy which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished in separation from Krishna, we will play a little video now for you. It's a very meditative and artful video which our Gop Kumar will share with you. Please see this.
Prapta pranaschatita bitta atma yau vishadho chita deha geha krihita kapalika dharma ko me brindavanam sindriya shishya brinda. sunero madhuri yaar bahe mor maano chhadi ko de ko dharm yogi hama
Krishna. Maybe you can. They can communicate on the telephone. That
it seems as he has some problem on his side, huh? Or is it on our side? Or is it on our side?
It's on our side. Okay. Mm. We are just coming back.
What does this mean?
A connection is established. This
connection is being established.
Yeah. It's reconnecting. Can you maybe see that? I mean, ja.
She also doesn't know, like.
Actually, the internet is okay, huh?
Yeah. Gokrishna.
Yeah.
Please tell that. She should be in contact with telephone with the people.
She's in contact with them.
Ja, weiter naht. Weiter naht. It says an unknown mistake has or error.
Ja, unser Internet ist weg.
Aha.
Zeitweise weg. Es dauert eine Minute oder so.
Hier heißt es, ein unbekannter Fehler trat auf. Nehmen Sie an diesem Meeting über Ihren Browser teil. Fehlercode, Code. Ist das vielleicht, muss man da einen Code eingeben oder?
Nee, das, unser Internet ist einfach weg. Also wenn es wieder da ist, dann können wir.
Oh. He says his the Internet disappeared.
Oh. Das ist diese Aria.
Eine Verbindung.
What does this mean? Open the browser.
Join.
Yeah.
By the browser. Join with the browser, maybe.
And schließen.
Schließ means close.
Ah, that's on Zoom. You can't.
Ja?
Möchtest du über mein Handy dich verbinden?
Ja.
Bis das nicht hochkommt.
Ja. Oh ja. Kann man sich da in deren Programm einschalten? Das ist, glaube ich, unser unser Internet.
Probier doch mal.
Ja.
Ist das Internet hier hochkommt, kannst du so sprechen.
Ja.
Aber du musst es so halten.
Wie?
So halten, dass man es schon
ja.
im Hintergrund
sieht. Hare Krishna Daya Gauranga.
Harish is back, he's here, we're just making him co-host.
Internet problem.
Gaur Kumar, you have not made such a known as only co-host yet, please make him co-host.
No, it's
going
to
be back.
And then
he'll
be able to unmute himself.
Yeah.
We have to make.
Just one second. Just make
sag ihnen doch, solange das Internet nicht hier kommt,
ja.
sprichst du übers Handy, ja?
Ja.
Und dann sprichst du wieder.
Ja. Unmute. Yes. Hare Krishna, I'm now addressing you through a mobile telephone. Am I visible for all the callers or all those on the call?
Yes, Maharaj, and the sound is good also.
Oh, good. So as we had just a bomb going down over Hamburg and destroying the internet. These are troubled times, so I'm now addressing all of you through the mobile telephone, and I think we can let us be flexible. I wanted to say the whole idea of this song which we heard in part was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt his mind was like a beggar. The mind had left his material, his body, and gone to Vrindavan, where it begged for knowledge of Krishna from the gopis. So that was the idea of the song. He came with a begging bowl of greed to the houses of the devotees. Give me some little information about Krishna. This beggar of the mind had a bag, and the bag was filled with hopes. Hopes, my Lord, will you show your mercy today, or if not today, then please tomorrow. So this was the ecstatic feelings of separation. Yes, my dear listeners, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has distributed Krishna consciousness to so many people by his South India tour. He had distributed it through the chanting of the holy name. He had performed many miracles where he had showed divine forms and everything. But ultimately, he also had a personal mission, that is to taste Krishna consciousness and to taste it mainly through feelings of separation from his beloved Lord. When I think about this aspect of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my heart becomes happy, because this is a complete program to relish Krishna consciousness oneself and to also distribute it to others. If you can be strong on these two legs, personal relish and distribution, you can walk very far in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. I want to close before we come to the announcements and the question and answer session by telling you about a beautiful hope-installing promise of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Towards the end of his pastimes, Advaita Acharya came to him and said, "My Lord, I have no interest in trying to get liberation from this world, nor do I have interest in enjoying this world. I only want to be with you and your devotees. And my question is, after this life, will I meet you again? Will I again be with your devotees?" And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time gave a promise to all his devotees, wherever they are. He said, "I will go to Vrindavan, and there I will accept you all as my associates within my sweet pastimes. I will fill your hearts with bliss. To you who have faith in Vrindavan, I will give you splendid spiritual forms, just like my own forms. I will make you into my eternally liberated associates in Goloka Vrindavan." Those whose hearts are bound to me in this form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I will make you my eternally liberated associates. My dear devotees, this is hope-giving. We may not always be very elevated souls. We may not always be on the highest spiritual platform, but simply by having faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being connected with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, simply by this, my dear devotees, the Lord will take us all back home, back to Vrindavan. Therefore, this Gauranga Mahaprabhu series, which comes to a close at the next weekend, gives hope to us. It gives the hope to us that whatever is lacking in us, whatever is missing in our qualification, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will make good of it, because he is the Lord who gives unconditional mercy. He doesn't look whether someone is qualified or not qualified. He only wishes that we are connected with him. My dear devotees, dear friends, please try to see how you can be more connected with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My recommendation is become serious, get a set of Chaitanya Charitamrita and read it from the beginning to the end. I thank you very much. I see you for what I will now give the microphone over to our Yashoda Dulal, and I will then come back to you when we come to the question and answer session. Please forgive me, but these are troubled times, and what can you do when a bomb falls into your town? It was not really a bomb, but we heard that the internet switched off for an entire town. Yeah, these are modern times. good. So over to you, Yashoda Dulal. Hari Bol.
Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. The anticipation of having you back on was like the feelings of separation. So we were desperately waiting for you to come back and tell us Gaura Harikatha. So it was wonderful. But we are glad you're back. It wasn't too long. We have a few great questions that have come through already. And if you have any more, please send them through to me. Before we get to the questions, I'm going to have a couple of brief announcements. I'd like to welcome some senior devotees that I see online, and there must be more on YouTube. So we have Brahmatirtha Prabhu, who actually has a great question that I'm going to start with. We have Andy Franco or Sankirtana Prabhu, the great author and storyteller. His books, Mahabharata and others, are widely read. And we have Rukmini Devi, the mother of Gaurvani Prabhu. So they are on Zoom as well as YouTube. So let me share my screen for a second. So this series is organized by the Bhakti Center. We have one more session coming up after this, and it's co-hosted by several neighboring yatras, ISKCON of New Jersey, Tawako, Central New Jersey, New York, that's the Brooklyn Temple, 26 Second Avenue, ISKCON of Bergen County, New Jersey, Richmond, Virginia, ISKCON, and Gitanagari Eco Farm, Pennsylvania. And this series, as you know, has been going on for the past 3 weeks. Today is the third session, and we'll close off next week with Mahaprabhu's teachings in song. And obviously, Maharaj will sing as well as speak about the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if you are on the Sangha live today, you know that the times, the clocks have changed for you outside of the United States. And in the UK, it's 1 p.m. now. Central Europe is 2, and India is 6:30, and Dubai is 5. So please log in at the same times next weekend, next Saturday. It's 9 o'clock New York time, as usual, but outside the U.S., please check the time and join live. So with that, let me go to the first question. It comes from Brahmatirtha Prabhu. He said, "The incident of the child's dying struck me. Grief is complex. If we grieve too much, we miss the lesson of this story as well as the lesson of Chitraketu Maharaj. Yet, if we do not grieve for the demise of loved ones, we miss an opportunity to purify our hearts. How do we achieve that balance?"
First of all, thank you very much, Brahmatirtha Prabhu, for your question. I would like to answer it by looking at the human condition in a general way, and then coming from there to the point of grieving. We in this world are dual entities. We are souls who are in a material body. Now, both of these realities, the physical and the spiritual reality, require attention. If we try prematurely to leave one for the other, then there is a huge catastrophe in our life. If we live, for instance, only a physical life and ignore the spiritual dimension, we will be totally frustrated, and we will live an unfulfilled life, an unlived life, really. If, however, and this is something which is maybe new for those who are practicing spiritual life, if, however, we are trying to only live the life of the soul and totally ignore the human dimension where we have connections to near and dear ones, we run the danger to become dysfunctional human beings who are emotionally let us say, atrophied. And at that time, our dysfunction will somehow play into our spiritual path. We have seen this very often happening in members who join spiritual affiliations. All of a sudden, they try to cut their humanness away from them, and then they become, how do you say, spiritually, you know, in some ways, influenced by the dysfunction. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us three instructions that, in my mind, make us a well-balanced individual. Oh yes, I'm now back on the computer screen. I think I continue. Okay. Am I now visible to all of you on the computer or not?
We lost your audio, Maharaj.
You lost our audio. Can you... You have to unmute me. Yes. Can you hear me? Why not this? Can you hear me?
Check in with Mars' team. Seem to have lost his audio, and we will restore the connection shortly. Thank you for all your patience.
Can you hear me? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Maybe I could go by the telephone, Gokrishna. That works. Yes. Hello? Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now, Maharaj.
Oh, very good. I'm back. My dear devotees, we are practicing for changing times. Life is not always comfortable in this world. And more discomfort is going to come. So learn to live with chaos, I can say. So, every one of us, focus. To live a balanced life where our human and spiritual faculties are well in place requires some deep thought. And I think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us the instructions that makes this possible. He really said only three instructions. Nam Ruchi, develop taste in the chanting of the holy name. That's purely on the spiritual side. Serve Vaishnava. Oh, let me do it like this. Nam Ruchi here. Then the second is... be kind to all living entities. That's on the human side. No? Turn towards the human beings and give them what they require. And then there is a third instruction which connects the purely spiritual to the very human oriented dimension. And that is serve Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas are human beings that are in the process to spiritualize the whole existence. So, to make it very simple, you need to balance your life. You need to be purely spiritual with a deep spiritual practice, and you need to be humanly healthy and show compassion to all living beings. Brahmatirtha and everyone on this call, I did not understand this in the beginning. When I joined the movement for Krishna consciousness, I totally was convinced I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. I'm not this body. and this understanding manifested wrongly in me ignoring my humanness. I would, for instance, in the winter, not take shoes because the soul does not require shoes to walk. It is free from shoes. But I got ill. And then I understood I must take care of my physical well-being also in order to live a harmonious life. I later could see this principle in my spiritual, in my relationships. I ignored all the relationships of my previous life, including the relationship to my parents, because I thought I'm the son of Krishna or the part of Krishna. I'm not the son of a child of parents in this world. But later I did understand not only is my body, but my whole upbringing connected to two parents who invested a lot in me. And now, where I'm an elderly person, I feel I have to show gratitude to my parents. I have to help them make the transition from this life to the next life. In grieving, you should give time for grieving. But as a spiritual person, you should restrict that. You should not grieve unendingly because you understand he is not just my friend, my father, or my fellow God brother who is in suffering. He is an eternal soul, and I should grieve or care in a spiritual way for them, while at the same time being humanly on a human level functional. I sincerely hope that my answer was not too abstract or too scattered. Please forgive me, there were some internet issues. We are trying to remain flexible and live with chaos. And I am now ready to go to the next question.
Thank you, Maharaj. And actually, I was getting some private texts while you were finishing your answer, saying one text said, in my almost 30 years of Krishna consciousness, this is perhaps the most brilliant answer I have received on a question like this, on how to be transcendental while being simultaneously human. And another person texted me saying they really loved the examples you gave. It hit home the point very nicely. So thank you. Some live feedback while this was going on. So our next question comes from Vamshidhari Gopal Prabhu. While I'm chanting the holy names, how do I make sure that I'm meditating and not imagining about the Lord?
The path to divine revelation, where there is not even a chance of imagination, is narrow and needs to be learned. When you start to meditate about Krishna, it is very important that in the beginning you go by the text books. That means the revealed scriptures. What you can do, for instance, as you wish to combine the name with the form and the pastimes of the Lord, in other words, chant and at the same time be mindful of Krishna, form and pastimes. You can first, you can chant and you can read the text about Krishna's pastimes. And while you chant, you will see that those texts from revealed scriptures which you have read are coming into your mind. At first, they come because of a psychological function of the mind called association. You hear Krishna and your mind associates with this term Krishna, with this Krishna, something you have heard. It's a normal function, which I would like to give you another example. If I say to you a particular word which carries some emotional value for you, you will see how your mind will associate an image with this word. In fact, the mind will draw it in. Let's make an example. I will tell now everyone on the call a particular word. And you will see how your mind draws in a picture. Pizza with good cheese topped by olives. Boom, you can see how the how this image immediately appears in your mind. It's by the power of association. It's not a revelation. It's nothing mystical. It's something which the mind does. So in the beginning, when we chant the holy name, it's very important that we have concrete, good, actual information about Krishna. We have a good pizza, so to say. I'm saying it in a colloquial way, so that the mind draws in a proper picture. Now, as you do this, you prepare the mind, or the mind gets prepared by the power of the holy name and by your desire to connect with the person whose name you are chanting. It gets purified. And then, in a purified mind, in a transparent mind, in a lucid mind, the revelation of Krishna comes. But that is not under our control. That is Krishna, due to Krishna's sweet will. I'm just now completing two books. One is a book for the outside world. It's called Inner Stillness, and it has 16 very powerful meditations. And then the second book, which is still at the computer of Gaur Krishna, it's still there. It is called Smaranam. It is a guideline for devotees to remember or meditate on Krishna. And there are various stages of meditation. But those who, of you who wish to go into this realm, where they chant and see and connect with Krishna, I would like to encourage to do the first step. That is, read about Krishna. And then you would see how your mind draws and pulls in the pastimes of Krishna, and then it is already so relishable. And from there, as the heart gets more and more purified, Krishna can reveal himself more and more and more. Ultimately, chanting means to keep Krishna in the heart while you are chanting. Otherwise, it's dry. Otherwise, it's disconnected chanting. Otherwise, it is very, very, let me say, it is not spiritually fulfilling so much. On the various japa retreats which I have attended and where I was allowed to do some seva, I always have seen devotees who chant, and all of a sudden the connection with Krishna is made, and then their chanting comes to another level. Often they have tears in their eyes. They're moved in some ways. And that's very, very important. Then when you're moved, then you can feel feelings of longing. Oh, Krishna, I am so separated from you. I really need you. I really want you. And at that time, when your chanting is how to say, imbued with a feeling of longing for Krishna. Krishna will take notice and will say, now he's chanting. What I have said, you will recognize. Prabhupada has spoken about this. He said one should chant like a child who cries for the mother. No? Longing. But if you never know Krishna, if you have no idea of how he speaks, what he thinks, how he is, how can you ever meet him face to face? First, you must have a deep longing for Krishna. And that is only possible if you have heard about him, know about him. I am a little bit talking a little bit much about this, but this happens to be the subject I have most personal interest in, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. May we take two questions more? Is that okay?
It is okay.
Thank you. And perhaps the questions on transformation, self-transformation, that I'm going to ask last might be answered by this next question that I'm about to ask you. It's from Anonymous. They wanted to know if you can repeat what Srila Prabhupada told you personally when you got this golden opportunity to massage him. What were the instructions he gave you, and specifically what was that about the water pot or something that you mentioned? So they wanted to know in some detail.
Yes, in 1974, Srila Prabhupada visited us in Germany, and usually he would take every morning his massage. At that time, Satsvarup Maharaj was massaging him. But one morning, Maharaj caught a fever, and Prabhupada could feel it when Maharaj touched his body. And Prabhupada then said, you have a fever, you must go to bed and sleep. The devotees looked for someone who could massage Srila Prabhupada, but there was no one there. There was one devotee called Shivananda who knew how to massage, but he had gone out that morning for shopping. And so after I saw that no one was able to massage, I said, I am the best masseur on this planet. I had no idea, but I had a desire to be close to Prabhupada. And I was the devotee said, yes, already late, go in. So I remember I went in, and Prabhupada looked at me. And Prabhupada was very perceptive. He could immediately see he was a young devotee who wanted to be close to him, but he had no idea about massaging. And he looked at me, and I knew he had understood me on my situation. And I started to perspire profusely. I remember my shirt became wet from here, from the, what is it called? The, you know, this part of the body, what is it called? The armpit down to the end of the shirt. I was perspiring so much out of nervousness, and he looked at me and just said, just do your service. A little bit disgusted, I think, with the situation. He was a young fanatic disciple and so on. Just do your service. So I massaged him. To make a long story short, there were many beautiful things where I learned Prabhupada's amazing character. Srila Prabhupada said, you must know four things. A devotee needs to know these four things. He must be a good disciple. He must be a guru. He must be a water carrier, and he must be a cook. I think everything except for water carrier is clear. A water carrier in Indian villages is someone who goes to get water when the village well has run dry. At that time, the water carrier will go to the next available or the next place where water is available. It could be a river, it could be a spring, it could be another village with another village well, and he brings water which is absolutely required for the villagers in either buckets, or there are other ways to transport water and makes it available for the villagers. I always understood this in an analogous way. The water carrier analogy teaches us that we should selflessly go and we should bring what is most required to the thirsting people. And obviously what is most required is that which alleviates all suffering. That is a true spiritual life. A water carrier in a modern translation would be a preacher or someone who spreads Krishna consciousness for the benefit of others. This was Srila Prabhupada's instruction to me to become these four things.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, one thing we see in your own life and the lives of many people in ISKCON is that they have, over the years and decades of practicing bhakti, transformed themselves. So they have before, you know, while they're sharing with others, they're also transforming themselves. And the reason I mention that is because two or three folks wrote in with this theme and this comment in mind, talking about transformation. So Surbhi in central New Jersey and Rishikesh Prabhu, they both asked about this in slightly different ways. And the essential point is, how do we invite the presence of Lord Chaitanya into our own lives to experience this transformation and have the kind of transformation of Krishna Prema that happened when Mahaprabhu was personally present with us?
What a wonderful question. Thank you very much. I'm very, very happy that you asked this question. Transformation is addressed in the Hari Bhakti Vilas with an analogy. It says, just like ordinary bell metal, it's a mixture of bronze and something else, can be transformed and made into gold by a certain alchemical process. In the same way, an ordinary person can become an extraordinary person if he follows if he is initiated into spiritual life and follows the process of Krishna consciousness. So let us go to this analogy. Those of us who are in Europe know of the alchemists who were looking for a formula to transform ordinary metal into gold. They needed to add something which some of them called the red lion. It was a certain pulver. And while the metal was melting, they would add this pulver and then the transformation took place. I must make it short. They were not so much interested in gold. They wanted to find out the principles of transformation. So it is this example which the Hari Bhakti Vilas uses. you have to add something to your life, and then your life becomes transformed. I was thinking of this when I saw the transformed dog of Dayal Gauranga, a beautiful white dog who made his appearance. I was reminded of this dog who had come with Shivananda's pilgrimage party, and who ran ahead and met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the beach of Puri. So when Shivananda Sena finally came with this party of pilgrims to Puri, the dog was already there in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association. Mahaprabhu fed it some pulp from a green coconut, and the dog was eating it. And then Mahaprabhu said, "Bolo Krishna," and the dog started to yelp, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." It's a transformed dog, which is alluded to in three places in Chaitanya Charitamrita, to make clear that in the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a dog, what to speak of a human being, can be transformed. Lord Chaitanya made even a dog chant the holy name of the Supreme Lord. If this is Lord Chaitanya's mercy to dogs, I wonder what kind of mercy he bestows to human beings. This is a question. How does Mahaprabhu give his mercy to human beings? He does so in three ways. Listen very attentively. Especially, we want to know, how does he show mercy to Yashoda Dulal, Dayal Gauranga, the entire Bhakti Center, Bal Krishnadas, Lalita, and Dina Bandhu, and Sipi? This is the people I see at the moment at the gallery. How? Well, there was once a discussion between a devotee and his wife, and the devotee said, "Beloved, listen to me. The Lord grants his mercy to this world in three ways." At this, his wife said, "What are the three ways, please?" And the devotee answered, "First, the Lord bestows his mercy by directly appearing before his devotee." This was at the time when the Lord had appeared and was visible to the residents of Jagannath Puri. Secondly, the Lord personally enters a devotee's heart. This makes this hints at great devotees like the famous Nakula Das Brahmachari, where Lord Chaitanya personally appeared in their hearts, and they began to be full of light. All of a sudden, they had an extraordinary light around them. This is only a lamplight, by the way. And they were glowing with Lord Chaitanya's presence in the heart from inside. And the third way, and I believe this is very relevant to all of us, is that Lord bestows his mercy by appearing in his devotee's thoughts. If you can think of Lord Chaitanya during your life, the Lord is there, and you can feel it. Therefore, in this age of Kali, our Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said there should be Gaurakatha every single day of the week. We should hear about Lord Chaitanya so that we can think about him, take his instructions serious into our heart, and then the Lord will be in our thoughts and in our minds, and will inform our life in a very beautiful way. When he is in your thoughts, Don't let him go. Dayal Gauranga, I wanted to tell about the pastime of Shivananda's dog in particular. Can you show your dog again, just that we have an idea? Because he must be a great soul. He is in connection. Yes, here he is. A Hari Bol. This is a different dog or same dog? Same.
Same one.
His
name is Jiva.
Jiva, oh yes. See, this person, this dog, is now in connection with a devotee of Lord Krishna. He will have benefit in his life in some ways. That is 100% clear. So, depending on Dayal Gauranga's strengths, this dog will soon chant Hare Krishna. Hopefully. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. That was wonderful. I also wanted to acknowledge Maharaj's brother, Vaidyanath Prabhu, who is somewhere in the background. Yes, Maharaj?
He was here, but we can bring him. I'm in his apartment at the moment, and later I will go to a program in Hamburg.
And also Vishakha Devi from Bhaktivedanta Manor. She's the head and the temple president of Bhaktivedanta Manor. She is also on. So wanted to offer my respects to them also, in addition to Rukmini Mata, Sankirtan Prabhu and Brahmatirtha Prabhu, who I noticed on Zoom.
Yes, my brother Ji is coming. Please show deep respect for him. He is the older one. Whoops. You can just look here, Vaidyanath.
I'll be coming. Hare Krishna. Glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
We look a little different, but we are, affection is in our hearts. He's also a disciple of Prabhupada. His name is Vaidyanath Prabhu.
Haribo.
Hare Krishna. Good. So what should we do now? It's such a warm atmosphere with all of you. It is I very much appreciate.
Maharaj, we deeply appreciate you. Thank you so much. And thank you to your brother as well. It was a special treat to have his darshan be with us as well. We're so, so, so uplifted and inspired to have you with us. We look forward to having you again next week for the final part of our series, which will be bhajans and teachings of Sri Chaitanya. So please, everybody, please come back and tune in next week. It'll be the last session we have before the actual Gaur Purnim celebration, which I'm sure all of you in your local communities will be celebrating in your own way. But we really, immediately as soon as the series is done, Maharaj, we'll be reaching out to plan the next one with you down the line, some months down the line. And so we are so, so grateful and fortunate. Just a couple quick announcements we have here in the chat board for those that would like to keep in touch so that you can be informed about these upcoming events that we do with Sajjananda Swami and other esteemed guests that we invite onto our platforms. We have a Bhakti Center newsletter as well as a web chat channel. You can find the recordings to these classes as well as all previous recordings on our temple YouTube channel, youtube.com/the temple at Bhakti Center. And as always, you can check out our website at bhakticenter.org and understand and find out what's going on around the community. As we end, we'll like to invite everybody to unmute yourselves and share your warm appreciation and gratitude for His Holiness Sachinanda Swami. So we will do that now, and please extend your love with a loud Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol. Thank you so much.
Hari Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Sankirtan.
Sankirtan Prabhu. Hare Krishna, this is Vaidyanath Das. Hare Bol Sankirtan. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Who else?
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you,
Shlapa.
See you all next week. Thank you.
Thank you.